You're listening to Food Integrity Now with Carol Gravet, Matt Spaeth, and Jeannie Smith, revealing the truth about the food we eat. Hello, and this is Carol Gravet of Food Integrity Now, and this show is brought to you by Willard Water.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm a health fanatic. I admit it. I read all the labels, eat organic food, and I'm very aware of what I put into my body. I practice holistic health, use alternative healing products, and never miss my daily dose of Willard Water. Willard Water is made with fossilized organics and contains nearly 24 trace minerals that are essential to maintaining strong bones, heart health, and good energy. Simply adding a quarter capful of Willard Water to my tea makes a tremendous impact on my overall well-being. Willard Water is tasteless and odorless. Dr. Willard's patented catalyst helps our bodies better absorb the minerals and nutrients we need to maintain optimal health. If you care about your health, you'll try Willard Water today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard Water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard Water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gravet, the host of your show today. On Food Integrity Now, we not only talk about issues that affect our global food supply, we also bring you integrity news and information on various topics that are affecting the quality of your life. Our goal is to bring you this information in an uncensored and honest way so that you can use it to create change in both your life and in the lives of others. You can find us on the web at foodintegritynow.org. You can listen to all of our shows directly on our sites or on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Our guest today is Michael Murphy. Michael is a journalist, filmmaker, and activist. He is one of the creators of the movie What in the World Are They Spraying? And he's here today to talk about his new movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying? Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Carol. You know, I'm in the middle of a rainforest in Hawaii, fortunate enough to get some cell range here, but it's just starting to rain. So if you have a poor connection, that's the reason why. But I'm really glad to be able to address this. I'm in Hawaii working on the Clean Sky Ordinance, which will ban geoengineering above and around the county of Maui. And then we're hoping and will be bringing it to other islands to address what's happening. It's unfortunately, these programs have had an effect on food production as well as a number of other things here on the island. So hopefully we can talk about that.
Okay. But before we talk about your new movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying? Let's briefly tell our listeners about your first movie, What in the World Are They Spraying? Michael, what are they spraying?
Well, it's not good. And geoengineers proposed spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our skies for what they said was the stated goal of the cooling the planet. Aluminum is very reflective. And what they're saying is, what they're doing is reflecting the sun back into space. And they claim that this will cool the planet. However, there are a number of studies which indicate that putting aerosols into our sky will create a temporary regional cooling, but an overall warming of the planet because those aerosols act as a blanket. We have seen nighttime highs go up considerably in the past 10 to 15 years. So deeply concerning to those of us who are watching this, but as you know, aluminum oxide and the other metals that we're finding in rain samples and samples taken from around the world show very, very high levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And again, those are very toxic to ecosystems, and as a result, we're seeing crop failures, ecosystem failure, as well as a number of other things that are deeply concerning. So it's interesting, geoengineers are very open that deploying their programs could disrupt the food of over 2 billion people. Well, we're seeing that come to fruition, and again, the toxicity, contamination that is literally being found around the world. In some cases, aluminum levels have gone up 50,000 percentage points in single tests. But it is showing up everywhere, and it's devastating our ecosystem. But we'll get into how Monsanto benefits from the toxicity and contamination and sterilization of our soil and how they might be involved with these programs. So it's deeply concerning to us, and definitely profits the genetically modified seed industry, which, of course, Bill Gates not only supports but invests in.
Wow, this is all very interesting. So, you know, the first movie really addressed what they were spraying. And so for our listeners out there, if you haven't seen this movie, what in the world are they spraying? I think it's beneficial to watch that movie first, don't you think so, Michael? And then move to your second movie, which is coming out in the fall. Is that correct?
It should be the fall, perhaps late summer. I'm working, actually, I have a little connection, not internet, but I'm able to review footage right here in the rainforest where I'll be for about the next 2 months. But yes, that will be released in the fall. But the first film, What in the World Are They Spraying, has been seen by over 10 million people. And it's actually started a worldwide movement. So not only do we have an ordinance moving forward to ban these programs from the island of Maui, but there are other areas around the world who are forming similar ordinances because people are waking up just how damaging these programs are and really looking at what the future holds if we allow them to continue.
Well, I'm so excited that you're making this movie because when I talk to people about geoengineering or chemtrails or climate remediation, they go, why would they do that? And so it sounds like you're going to, or you are addressing this very issue. So where would you like to start with this, Michael? Why are they spraying?
Well, that's the question that's now being asked. And in the first film, the goal that I had when I started it was to prove A, that they are spraying, and B, that these programs are a threat to human health and ecology. And we conclusively did that. Again, as a result, people around the world are taking action, and now they're aware of this issue called geoengineering. Many refer to it as chemtrails. But again, the question remains why. And geoengineers propose spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum and other toxins into our sky for what they say is the stated goal of cooling the planet. But again, studies indicate that putting aerosols will actually warm the planet. So what's going on here? I believe, as well as many other people, that there are a number of agendas associated with these programs. But after looking into this for the past couple of years, interviewing top meteorologist Scott Stevens, who is a feature in Why in the World Are They Spraying? And again, the film trailer can be found at truthmediaproductions.us or whyangels.info. That's whyangels.info. And I'm sure that you'll begin to realize why they're doing this. But he states that the aerosols in the sky are absolutely required for these corporations to achieve the weather modification goals that they have. And we looked into this, and what we found was weather is very profitable, not only in the financial markets, but it's a very effective tool to consolidate monetary and political power into the hands of a few. And it's very effective for bringing about this Monsanto agenda, which they have an agenda to own everything that grows. And I'm here in Hawaii, and I've spoken to a lot of people here on the island, many of which grow their own food, and they're dependent on the natural systems and the ecosystem here in Hawaii. They have seen up to 50% declines in certain yields. And what I'm told is just in the past year, they've seen such a collapse of the ecosystem. And right now I'm looking at trees which are brown. Coconut trees are turning brown. And the locals here are telling me that after it rains, instead of everything turning green, which it did just a few short years ago, it's turning brown. So their concern is that they will not have the ability to live off of the land. Of course, that's related not only to genetically modified seed corporations, but also to Agenda 21. So it's a deep concern here. But, you know, we've looked into this and found that Monsanto and other genetically modified seed companies benefit from these programs. And we found there's a new stress-resistant seed. In the first film, we covered an aluminum-resistant seed. Not so sure if we're digging up the... It's a very confusing patent, but in looking into that, we found the stress-resistant seed. And it's a seed that can grow in drought conditions and conditions where the soil is toxified and sterilized by these heavy metals. So there's no question that our soils are being contaminated. There's no question that our ecosystems are collapsing, and there's no question that Monsanto benefits from this. Interestingly enough, we looked into Bill Gates, and Bill Gates, of course, is a funder into geoengineering research. So he's involved with these programs at some degree, but there's no question that he benefits because he's just heavily invested in Monsanto. So it's your old Hegelian dialectic. We have natural systems and people that essentially can and have the ability to live from nature. What is happening is this. We have corporations that are creating a condition where it will be impossible, or it's becoming impossible, for people to live independently from the system. So what they're doing, they're taking natural systems that are under the authority or dominion of God or nature, and they're genetically modifying it and bringing these systems under the dominion or usurped authority of corporations, and thus men. And in doing so, it enables these corporations to literally control everything. So if you control the weather, you can control every food supply and every political system. This is the issue that's been discussed in just about every major religion, and we're seeing it come to fruition. It's men wanting godlike power, and it's deeply concerning to those of us who are aware of this.
Well, one of the things you said that something about the financial markets. What does this have to do with our financial markets?
Well, at the very low level, weather is being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So there is an interest in controlling the weather by certain corporations. And essentially, certain corporations, whether it's agribusiness or insurance companies, they will hedge their risk by investing in these futures. And by doing so, they can alleviate any weather-related risk that they have. So let's say if they have an area, $1 billion worth of crops. In that $1 billion worth of crops could be flooded out. Well, what they will do is hedge the risk and perhaps invest in $10 billion or $10 million, whatever the number might be, worth of crops. And if it rains and floods out that crop, they financially gain $9 million or $9 billion. So that's essentially the gist of that. And it doesn't prove that weather control, weather modification is happening. We have many other interviews that conclusively prove this is a real technology and it's ongoing. There's no question about that. But what it does, it illustrates the fact that there is an incentive and that people do have a motive by controlling our weather at the very low level. But it goes up to many different degrees and many different levels. And our military also has a stated goal and a stated agenda of controlling our weather, and that's stated in a military document, owning the weather by 2025. So again, that's that can be found online. But there's without a doubt an agenda.
Where can our listeners find that document? Because you know, I speak with many people about geoengineering, and people want proof. And you know, fortunately, there's a lot of proof out there right now. So I'd like to make that available to as many people as possible. So where could they find that document you were just speaking about?
Real simple. They could just Google owning the weather by 2025. But Carol, I found the most effective tool for bringing people into light on this is watching What in the World Are They Spraying? And we encourage everybody who purchases a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. And that can be found in whatintheworldarethespraying.info and or truthmediaproductions.us. And what it does, it helps me address this 7 days a week, but it also encourages activism because we encourage people to make copies. So if you can't afford the film, please see it online. It is available online. The important thing is to get the word out, but we sure could use your support.
Right. You're totally funded by donations. Is that correct?
Donations and DVD orders, so sometimes it gets very tight, but I wouldn't change it for the world, Carol.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't, and we appreciate your passion. Well, you know, I notice in my area there's heavy spraying, and to me, it's obvious. You just look up in the sky, and it looks different than it did 20 years ago. So that, number one, is to me an indicator that something is different. And, you know, that people say, well, you know, we have more jet, you know, traffic. And I say, well, yeah, but on certain days we'll be covered. And then the next day there'll be nothing. So did they stop flying for a day? So I think there's some real obvious ways that people can just start noticing that things are different.
Well, our skies are definitely changing, and one of the consequences of geoengineering is the loss of our blue skies. We have a thing called global dimming. We've seen, I believe, the number, a significant decline in our sun getting through in our atmosphere. But NOAA just did a study on specifically stratospheric aerosols. Now, remember, the geoengineering programs that are of interest to me are stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. Geoengineers propose spraying these aerosols into the stratosphere for the stated goal of blocking the sun. So what we see in the sky matches geoengineers' plans exactly. What we see in our finding, not only in California, but all around the world, in terms of contamination, is aluminum, barium, and strontium. These metals match geoengineers' proposals and numerous geoengineer patents that have been designed to specifically spray this. These are not only showing up in the rain, but NOAA just did a report illustrating a significant, a 50% increase in stratospheric aerosols in the past 10 years. Interestingly enough, NOAA did not document the source of these aerosols or the composition. Well, we know what the source is. We know what the composition is. It's from these geoengineering programs that geoengineers have declined and are denying that they've started. But there is literally evidence coming forward that not only indicates but proves these programs have been started. Of course, we're seeing what all the geoengineers are stating are concerns and risks of geoengineering. Some of those are ozone depletion. A number of studies are illustrating the depletion in our ozone. Weird weather patterns. We've seen significant changes in our weather, and that's what I think most people can relate to. And a number of other consequences that hopefully we'll talk about during this program. But Carol, I can tell you, there is no, and when I say this, there has been and will not be, short of nuclear fallout, a greater threat to the planet than we are faced with right now. And I don't say that to create an opportunity or an environment of fear, but an environment of faith, to really encourage people that we have vital opportunity to stand up, to get these programs stopped, and really to create the world that we want in the future. So we're, again, a very vital time in history, and I think it's incumbent on those of us who are aware of this issue to stand up and take peaceful, nonviolent action in terms of waking people up and activating people and bringing forth some of the things that we're working here on Maui, the Clean Sky Ordinance.
Yes, and I agree, Michael, there are things we can do. It's unfortunately, it's just becoming a little bit more difficult to take a stand with all the new laws and our rights and privileges that have been taken away as of late. Just today, I saw the H.R. 347, which has just been passed by Congress, that essentially makes it illegal to protest. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I think I saw something. I have very limited computer access here in the rainforest, but I do want to state the power of the spoken word. The spoken word is so powerful, and we have that ability
right
today. And the ability to talk to your friends, your neighbors, people in your working area, that's where the change is made. It's not always going up to Capitol Hill, but it's creating a public awareness and a public consciousness so that other people can recognize the seriousness and the gravity of this issue and move forward with it. And a collective conscious society is something that the people perpetuating these crimes do not want, but it's something that we have, and we have the ability to move forward. And again, the power of the spoken word, each and every one of us have it. We just have to exercise it. And when we do, miracles happen. So we have that today, and I really want to encourage everybody to get active in this. But I think the first step in addressing this is to become aware and educated about that. And the first film, What in the World Are They Spraying, is a very effective way to become aware of this. But please see the next trailer. We released it about 2 weeks ago, and it's just been going viral around the internet, because we have, again, former weatherman Scott Stevens, who talks about, he's been studying the connection between chemtrails, geoengineering, and weather control. So we documented this. We have a number of new statements that geoengineers have made about these programs and how they affect weather. And then Mark McCandless, who was in the defense industry for a number of years. And then other people talking about this agenda to corporatize our food and how these programs are very essential to destroying food supplies and then coming in with the genetically modified seeds. So it's going to be a very powerful film. And I really believe this is the next step, not only in waking more people up, but really activating people to move closer towards holding the governments and corporations accountable, because we illustrate how corporations are profiting from such programs. And I think it's going to be the aha moment. I think it is for a lot of people, that epiphany of becoming aware of what's really happening with this. We actually have pre-orders, and that helps us to fund the project. We're at about just over $5,000. The last film cost $83,000. I can do this for a much more cost-effective price. So by pre-orders and donations, we will bring this project to fruition. So please help support us. And you can go to whyangels.info, whyangels.info. For more information about the film. But hey, if you can't contribute, totally understandable, please pass the trailer along, because we put vital information in it, and information is the key here, the most important thing.
You talked a little bit about how Monsanto has an agenda here and really stands to gain from this weather modification and basically controlling our food supply. And we've talked about how the environment is so affected by this geoengineering. What about the consequences to human health in general?
Oh, God, they're really unquantifiable. And again, I could go on and on and on. But in essence, aluminums are our number one ingredient here, and I'll talk about why in a second. But in terms of human health, aluminum-related illnesses have gone through the roof in the past 10 to 15 years since these programs have been escalated. Alzheimer's is one of them. And in Riverside County, we've seen actually a 260% increase in Alzheimer's, which has indirectly linked to aluminum. Other neurological disorders are going through the roof. And according to Dr. Bourne, who we interviewed for the first film, What in the World, she stated that aluminum is accumulative, so it will build up in the system, compromising many different things, including our immune system, which will lead to a number of other illnesses. Barium is very toxic. It lowers our immune system. I've spoken to a number of emergency room physicians who have told me, the ones that are aware of this issue, told me during heavy spray days, their emergency rooms are packed. People come in typically complaining of burning eyes, irritability, headache, nausea, dry mouth, but the real concern of them, barium increases our blood pressure, and they expect to see an increase in heart attacks and strokes on these very heavy spray days. Strontium, which again is in this geoengineering footprint being found all around the world in escalating levels, is very toxic, and it's also a carcinogen, so it's a catalyst to cancer. And these metals are not only showing up in our environment, they're also showing up in hair follicle tests and blood tests. And there was a group of people in Mojave County, Arizona, and about 20 or 26 of them began getting their blood tested. And what they found was deeply concerning. I think over 80 or 85% of those people tested for what is considered to be 1,000 times over the level considered to be normal for barium. Barium is an exotic test because it should not be in our blood unless somebody works in industry, but again, these levels are through the roof in many people around the world, and the health consequences are just dramatic. It's interesting because the people who don't want to look at this or are hired by the corporations are telling us and trying to sway this, stating we should be finding barium in our blood. Absolutely not. Not according to many of the physicians that we've spoken to. So they're working tirelessly to suppress these truths that are coming out. But, Carol, you know what? not a question of when people will wake up. It's a question, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And again, 10 million people have seen the first film. As a result, we have worldwide movements, a conscious awareness of this issue called geoengineering. We don't want it. It's not in the best interest of the people whatsoever. So we must do what we have to do, not only to create this conscious awareness, but to use our voice to get these programs stopped.
Right. We've had you on our shows before, I think twice, but we also have Rosalind Peterson, who has a wealth of information on geoengineering, and you can also go to just Google her. I can't think of her website off the top of my head. But, you know, the key is education, and just really understanding what is happening is the first step, and then sharing that information. So let's go back a little bit to GMOs and geoengineering and their connection. Can you articulate that a little bit further for our listeners?
Sure. Well, geoengineering programs, the toxicity of aluminum, barium, strontium, other heavy metals have a devastating effect on our soils, and our soils are being contaminated, no question about that. That specifically aluminum oxide and these other oxides will change the soil pH. So, for instance, in Northern California, where typically our soils or the soils up in that area are acidic, scientists several years ago started noticing that the soils were changing dramatically, anywhere from 10 to 12 times the normal alkalinity of the soil. So plant life will start to die when the soil pH, plant life that requires an acidic soil, when the soil pH changes. Exactly what's happening in the region. But in other areas, because this aluminum is being introduced into the atmosphere, a lot of plant life has natural protectants in a very basic term, and the root systems and other systems will shut down because bioavailable aluminum, again, the key is bioavailable aluminum, is very toxic. That's free-form aluminum to most plant life. So it will shut it down so that the plants do not bring that toxin into its system. But as a result, what we're seeing is a very slow death to the plant life and the ecosystems because they don't have those nutrients that they're supposed to have. So as a result, we are seeing ecosystem collapse around the world. But again, there is this new stress-resistant seed, which will grow very effectively in these new environments. And one thing in terms of weather control, it's a very effective tool to take over a country's or a region's food supply, because if you introduce a drought, and it's very interesting, geoengineers are very open that putting aerosols into our sky will affect precipitation. They will affect clouds. They will create droughts in certain regions and heavy flooding in other regions, exactly what we have and have been seeing in many different areas. And again, the aerosols are there that match the programs exactly. But I think it's important to realize that that aerosols, when inserted and injected into our sky, they will affect the way that clouds condense and nucleate. So I spoke with meteorologist Scott Stevens, who informed me that that these corporations do have the ability to not only create droughts in certain areas by putting aerosols into clouds, but they also have the ability to build clouds and build storms. And one thing, you know, we were unsure of when we started looking into this was the aluminum and why aluminum was being used and why it was so toxic in our environment. And what we found was this. Aluminum, while it's not a great conductor, let's say in wire around the home, it's a very effective conductor in our skies. And Scott Stevens, meteorologist, sourced a study that indicated or illustrated that our skies are four times the conductivity that they were just 30 years ago. And what does a conductive sky do? Well, it enables these corporations to actually heat up parts of our atmosphere. And heating up the atmosphere, what does it do? It rises and it lifts, and it creates a low-pressure system, which essentially is a vacuum. And it enables these corporations to literally see storms. So that's why we're seeing very heavy spraying about 500 to 1,000 miles ahead of a storm. I don't watch the weather, I don't pay attention to it, but I have been very effective at predicting rainfall in California and other regions on the mainland by the amount of aerosols and the strain that's occurring. So again, these corporations, what they're doing, they're corporatizing our weather. And why? Well, as geoengineer David Keith said a number of years ago, he said geoengineering gives man godlike power, and that's what these programs enable them to do. Not only can they control our entire food supply and corporatize it by making it impossible to grow natural organic foods, but they can also control every political system. And that's what is happening. This is a tremendous amount of consolidated power into the hands of a few at the expense of everybody. And again, corporations benefit on many different levels, but many corporations benefit from disasters. And unfortunately, it's at the expense of every living thing on the planet.
You know, Michael, it's my understanding, too, that there aren't laws regarding what you can do in our atmosphere. Is that true?
Well, to an extent. There are treaties that have been formed to actually make weather warfare illegal. What I just learned a few days ago, a country cannot engage in an act of war using weather modification, weather control techniques on another country. However, it can use these systems on itself. So, according to Scott Stevens, he said, by engineering weather, let's say in a continent such as America, North America, you can affect weather around the world. You can create droughts in Africa and other areas. And let's be realistic. The multinational corporations that really control our political system want to control systems not only abroad but here in America. So, again, that is why we believe they're getting away with it. I'm going to look into this more closely and articulate it very effectively in the next film, Why in the World Are They Spraying This?
Well, I think, as many have said, if you follow the money, you usually get to the source. And I think that's probably going to be, or is the case in why in the world are they spraying?
Well, money is a big part of this, but this goes deeper than money. And what it is, it's this governmental corporate conglomerate that wants to control natural systems. I call it the beast. And what it's doing is usurping the authority of God and bringing it under the usurped corporate authority. And that's what it is. It's about controlling every natural system and having the power of God. These programs, geoengineering chemtrail programs, are the key element in doing this. And this is why we see these types of activities, the devastation, the death that's occurring. It's about power.
Yeah, power and money, the two things that really corrupt our society in general. So somebody sent me an article today that was regarding that there is funding for innovative climate and energy research. Are you familiar with that, the grants that have been taken out to do this work?
I would have to specifically see those articles. I haven't seen them yet. And
okay.
If they came out the next day, I'm getting out occasionally from the rainforest to check my emails, but at that time I'm just trying to respond, so I don't have a lot of time, but it's a blessing to be here because I'm able to focus on the film and actually work on protecting Maui from these damaging programs, so it's a blessing.
I just heard that beautiful bird in the background. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So can you share with us a little bit about the Clean Sky Ordinance that you're working on over there?
Sure. The Clean Sky Ordinance was actually birthed a little less than a year ago, and we went out to Earth Day, and we handed out several hundred DVDs, and essentially some people on Maui knew, some people were unaware, but it's a very small island, and it's a very tight community, so it's a very effective place to get critical mass and public support. So we really helped awaken this community. A few days later, people were concerned about this issue, and they wanted to have a town hall meeting. So we did just that. We screened What in the World Are They Spraying, and had some political officials come to the event who were concerned about this and actually spoke about it. A public official here did over 30 rain tests, and he found what's called, many are calling this chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. So we found contamination. Again, spoke on this, the health environmental implications. Well, as a result, people got concerned, and we decided to start an ordinance. So it's wonderful. I've done a lot of activism here, handing out DVDs on the street and really waking up the public. We have critical mass here, and as a result, now our public officials are starting to look at this. And it's very challenging to get a ordinance or a bill through unless you have critical mass. And that's what our initial goals were. We have it. So now we have a sponsor on the county board who's going to be sponsoring this bill. And there's no doubt in my mind that we will not only push this through, but have an impact on the rest of the world. So we're going to use Maui as a model. And also Cindy with Long Island Skywatch, God, she did a great job up in Suffolk County. They passed the first part of their county ordinance. So we worked and collaborated with them in terms of how we're putting this together. So we're going to use our experience to bring this issue out to other counties. But, you know, it's wonderful. But the key starts with activism. We need a conscious, awakened, and an aware public who is willing to address this in a prudent way. There are a number of ways that can be that this can be addressed, and a number of people who have addressed this in anger and fear, some other areas, may have set us back a little bit. So we had to do a lot of damage control here in Maui and get the attention in a non-confrontational way. It's hard to do when you're aware of what's going on, but it's essential.
What do you mean by there are ones that are addressing this with fear? Can you be more specific about that? Or
of course. And, you know, some people, we had to do a lot of damage control here in Maui, because when Bruce Douglas, who really had the idea and wanted to run with the bill, he called up the mayor's office and he said, I'd like to have a private meeting. And they said, well, about what? And he said, well, I'd like to talk to you about geoengineering. And they said, we don't know what that is. And he said, well, many people know about it as the chemtrail issue. And the mayor's office said, no. You're those crazy people. And Bruce said, no, we're not those crazy people. They said, well, we get 5 calls a week of people who are screaming and saying that we're dumping toxins to kill everybody in the sky. And Bruce said, no, you know, I'm sorry that people have been very antagonistic and very angry calling you. We want to talk to you about facts and figures in this. So we went in, we presented the film, which, by the way, has been a very effective tool, and we addressed this in a way that was easily understood by our political leaders. As a result, they moved and are moving forward with this bill. But a number of people come in, and there are several levels of truth and several agendas associated with these programs. Most of these agendas are far beyond what many people would even accept as reality. And what I mean by that, it's similar to math, you know, and algebra. And I was a teacher for a number of years. I taught 3rd through 8th grade. And while I could introduce, you know, basic math to the 3rd graders and algebra to the 8th graders, I couldn't come in with that algebra to the 3rd graders. And when introducing any issue, you have to know who your audience is. You have to know the levels of the issue that they're able to comprehend and accept. And that's the most important. So while I believe there is a depopulation agenda associated with these programs and Bill Gates, who's spoken about eugenics, I don't think it's the most prudent way to address this when you're going into a public official, because essentially that's probably something that many of them have never heard of, and it could be beyond the reality.
I agree. I agree with you totally. Now, I find in educating people, if I don't even use the word chemtrails and stick with geoengineering, climate remediation, weather modification, people are more likely to listen to me, because I think the debunkers in general have taken that word chemtrails and used that as a word to, describe people as being crazy.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And our agenda is not to tell everybody as much truth as we know. Our agenda is to teach, educate these people, and move towards getting these programs stopped. So it's sort of, if you look at truth, truth is a very powerful weapon. But you put a weapon in a child's hands that does not have the wisdom to use it, they can do a lot of damage. And unfortunately, that's something that we experienced here. So I can't stress the importance of knowing the audience that you speak to, and addressing it at a level that they'll not only comprehend but be able to accept. And that's the important thing. And, you know, Carol, if you look at my films, they're tools for activism. I am an activist at heart. I always will be. People want to call me a filmmaker. I don't consider myself that, because that's not the important issue. The important issue is that we get these programs stopped. So everything that I do is a tool for activism, and I look at how this is going to be accepted and the impact that it will have. And so far, you know, we've impacted literally millions of people who are now, many of them, getting active in terms of getting these stopped. So I really think the next program is going to be the aha moment, and it will be a very effective tool in addressing this to many different audiences. So I think it's going to be a step closer in getting these stopped. And go to whyangels.info for more info about the film. Check out the trailer, and please, please, please pass it along. It's very important info.
Have you had any repercussions in doing any of this work?
Well, you know, you're always, when you get into truth, you're always going to have people that want to oppose it. These are multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar operations, and this is about, this is really the end game. It's about consolidating an enormous amount of power into the hands of the few. These programs allow them, these entities, to do it. So without a doubt, there's going to be a corporate agenda to try to do many things. Many people want to put this into, quote-unquote, this demonized word, the conspiracy theory realm. This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact, you know, and that's why the films that I'm involved with address this in a very prudent, factual manner. I really try and stay out of a lot of theory, but there are those that will try to use bogus science that looks very good and very effective, and they're simply not effective at what they're doing, because the evidence is everywhere. And if somebody looks at this with an open mind and a reasoning mind who's not in denial, they will come to the same understanding that we have. These programs are very real. They're happening. They're a threat to nature and humanity, and we must get them stopped. So, again, the debunkers have tried. Of course they are. You know, this again, is a corporate agenda. They've been very ineffective at moving forward, and the movement has grown leaps and bounds. It really has. So with that being said, you know, we're for every person they may put doubt in their mind, we're waking up hundreds. And that's the power of truth, you know, and there's an old saying, you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool everybody all the time. And that's the point that we're at. So it's again, a very exciting time to see the movement grow, and it's very exciting to be involved with this. I get emails every day that come in with people who really want to take action. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's exciting. So Michael, why is HAARP involved in all of this? Do you have any thoughts about that? And maybe you can explain what HAARP is to our listeners.
HAARP is the High Active Auroral Radio Frequency Project, and essentially it's an ionospheric heater, so it heats up the ionosphere. And we spoke earlier about aluminum and other things being a conductor in the sky. So that gives these people the ability to heat up various parts of our atmosphere, create a lift, thus a low-pressure system, and give them the ability to steer storms. So it's an element that's involved in weather control. And I just interviewed Dr. Nick Begich, who was just excellent in helping me comprehend and understand this. And according to meteorologist Scott Stevens, the particles are essential. They're needed to be in the atmosphere, not only to modify the way that clouds condense, because those particulates will affect that, but he states with the many of the other technologies, it's needed to actually heat up the ionosphere. So Nick Begich actually said in HAARP, particulates are not required in applications. However, they do benefit, and they do make HAARP much more effective with a lot less energy. So there is without a doubt a connection to this, but the particulates serve as a number of different things, all which tie into this corporatization of our weather.
Right, and the reason I brought this up is many people aren't even familiar with what HAARP is, and like on all of our shows, we tell our audience, we really don't take our word for it. Do your own research and, you know, start using your ability you know, to use the internet right now, as long as we have it, to do your own research and find out for yourself. So if you just Google HARP, you can learn about something that you may not even be familiar with. And because sometimes I'll mention HARP to people and they'll go, "What's that?" So it is about education. And I think that's an important issue. And we have about 10 minutes left. And what I'd like to focus on, Michael, in this last 10 minutes is activism. What can people do, again, in summary, to get the word out and to make a difference and, stop what's happening eventually? That's the ultimate goal, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is, and there are a number of things that can be done. God, far too many to talk about within 10 minutes, but essentially, to create any movement, critical mass is essential, and while millions of people have woken up, we still have a large number and percentage of our population who is largely unaware of these programs. So a very important aspect is to get this video out, send it to your email address. But also, I copy and hand out thousands of DVDs. I rarely leave home without a DVD. And my entire community is aware of this. And as I stated earlier, we're encouraging everybody who purchases a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. As a result, we not only have people on the internet posting this on Facebook, but we have people making those face-to-face contacts, talking to people in a prudent manner about this issue, and then handing them a DVD is very effective. So in selling the DVDs, it helps two things out. It helps me to fund my activism, which, by the way, I do 7 days a week, but it also creates activism in the general population. We have a gentleman down in Tucson who says he hands out about 1,000 DVDs per week. Tucson, most of the people are awake in that region. He's been a very essential part of that. So this allows us to partner in terms of getting the word out. But in addition to that, you can contact your local media. Every media source has been aware of this issue. But if it's presented on a daily basis, it will put more pressure for them to address this. Not that our corporate mainstream media has complete integrity. We know that they're essentially bought and paid for by the corporate agenda. But we have had a few honest and somewhat effective reporting by an NBC affiliate in California and in some other outlets. But again, the essential key is to become an activist. And I can tell people what to do, but I really believe this, Carol. I believe the point of power comes when we move within our gifts. And what I mean by that, if somebody tells me, hey, you're going to be most effective at addressing the chemtrail geoengineering issue by using your computer, I can tell you right now, I'm at best a terrible computer person. And that's not going to be my point of power. But I do have the ability to speak, and I go to a lot of public speaking engagements where I address this. And because that's a gifting that I have, it's a very effective tool that I can use. So what I really ask that people do is look into their heart, look at their gifts, and use those gifts to address this. Bottom line is this. Each and every person, each and every living thing is affected by these programs. There's no question about it. And what that means, it means it's incumbent upon those of us who are aware of this to stand up and address this in some capacity. So, again, the point of power is using the sphere of influence that we have. If it's influence in our place of work, I encourage people to go in with copies of the DVD, hand them out. Now, if you're again, a computer person, use Facebook, other social media outlets to get a link to the trailer. It's available on YouTube. But the important thing is that we use this in activism. If you have political influence, use those connections that you have to meet with public officials, give them the DVD, make them aware of this issue. And we found, again, that the first film has been a tremendous tool for activism. And again, we're moving much closer to getting these programs stopped. And we've seen great progress in the past year and a half, probably more progress in the past 10 years, and that's because of the collaborative effort by everybody who wants to get involved. And again, help fund our next project. When you release a film, of course, we're going to allow it to be for free. This information is too important to limit it just to sales, but you rarely recoup your production costs. And because of that, we're running on a shoestring budget. We need partnerships to get this next film complete. We're at about, 1/6 of what we estimate is needed to complete this important project. And again, the first film would not have been done without pre-orders and without donations. Would not have. And as a result, I think we would have been much further back on this issue. But the film has, again, been a great tool, and it's woken up millions of people. And that's only because of the people who have gotten involved and helped support us. So I have the vision. I also have the contacts in terms of editors and how to put this thing together. The one thing that we do not have, because I'm an activist, is the financial resources. So we need to partner, and we'll get a video out to you if you contribute to this. So again, Y Angels, WHYangels.info is the website for more information about this. And again, if you don't have the financial resources to get involved, please pass along the video, whether it's Why in the World Are They Spraying, official trailer, or What in the World Are They Spraying. It's that essential that we have to get the word out.
Yeah, I think that is the key. So I think, Michael, the word will be eventually out, and I think it'll be out to the masses within a short period of time. And when the word is out fully and enough people are waking up, those that are doing this are going to have to come forth and explain why. Any thoughts on what they're going to say?
Well, as my former co-producer, G. Edward Griffin, said, he when it comes out, he said, undoubtedly, they will say, we did it for you, for the greater good of the people. And geoengineers, you know, they're very open. They say, hey, these programs will affect several people in a negative way, but it will help the whole planet out in general. And so they're creating this this fearful situation that we're all going to die from the supposed threat of global warming if we don't spray toxins into the sky. But look at it from this standpoint. We are aware that these programs are about a consolidation of an enormous amount of monetary and political power into the hands of a few. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really behind these programs, how do you sell that to the public? I mean,
sure.
Picture, would they come out saying, you know, I've got a plan, I'm going to spray toxins into the sky. A number of you farmers, I'm sorry, you're going to lose your farms.
Right.
Oh, many of your children are going to have asthma, respiratory mortality, it's going to go through the roof. There are going to be profound human health and ecological implications, but I'm going to gain godlike power. Aren't you excited? Well, of course, the public would never buy into that. So they have to use this deceptive propaganda stating that they don't want to do this because it's going to hurt people, but they have to save the entire planet. Well, no, these programs, again, they're about consolidating a huge amount of political, monetary power into the hands of a few, and you simply cannot sell that to the public. So they're using this deceptive propaganda to move forth.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for being on our show again, and we really appreciate all the work you're doing, and we really look forward to seeing the movie coming out at the end of this year, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And if you haven't seen What in the World Are They Spraying, please do so, and as Michael said, you can copy the film and spread it amongst your friends and just help get the word out. So again, Michael, thanks for being on the show. We want you to continue to do all your great activism, and we appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you, Carol, and thank you for everything that you're doing. Really appreciate your work and support your work 100%.
Oh,
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you once again, everyone, for listening out there. And if you like what you hear on this show, please remember to head on over to iTunes and leave a comment or rating for us. It's the best way to spread this show around and to help us along. And if you have any show ideas, comments, or just want to say hi, email us at foodintegritynow.org. We would love to hear from you. You can also check us out on the web at Food Integrity Now, where you can find archive shows and news. And our new shows come out every Thursday. This is Carol Gravet wishing you a happy and healthy week. And until then, stay educated and stay active.